Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I watched the fourth quarter.
That's it? That was the best part.
I know. That's why I watched it.
Let me take you through my Super Bowl evening. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm watching the Super Bowl. Oh, dude.
Dude, we're getting a call.
We're getting a call on the Batmobile.
It's like live. Okay, hold on. I got to answer the call. I don't know how.
Answer. Click answer up there.
Oh, you see it? I'm clicking.
Answer. Hello?
Hi, it's Mark Purdy.
All right, we're joined on the podcast by Mark Purdy, a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. Mark, we know you're taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. First of all, thanks, and how are you doing?
No problem at all. I always love talking hockey. I have a good life. This week I have to spend at Pebble Beach walking up and down by the ocean. And getting paid for it, so that doesn't stink. So this is good, but it's hard to keep up on hockey while looking out at a bunch of guys swinging golf clubs. But I'm doing my best.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's terrible. But so we're gonna yeah. Spare you all the in-depth questions. Yeah, we're gonna spare you the in-depth questions about the Washington game tonight. But of course, we do want to talk to you about hockey because you write some columns about hockey throughout the year, and of course, you follow the Sharks very closely throughout. So first of all, I did want to touch on a hockey column that you wrote about 2 or 3 weeks ago when the Sharks were in the throes of a terrible losing streak. And I think the column you wrote caused a bit of controversy amongst fans. And you said, or maybe not controversy, when you said the Sharks' big three, meaning Thornton, Heatley, and Marleau, were the reason for their slump. And now that the Sharks have sort of turned it around and started winning games, do you see the big three as the big reason why they've turned it around?
Well, I think they are a part of it. I mean, the way I looked at it is those three guys make up like almost 40% of the payroll. So they're supposed to do a good chunk of your scoring. And the way the team is structured now, with most of the money going to the guys up front, if you allow two or three goals a game, the forwards are supposed to with that and score four or five goals. And that was not happening. I didn't think they do need another defenseman, I believe, but the defense and the goaltending has not been that bad from the back end. What's been bad is the way that the forwards have, not scored, and at least until this recent streak, and B, we're not helping on defense. And, I think what's happened, and I didn't see the Washington game. I did listen to part of it on the radio as I was driving home from Pebble Beach. Sounded to me on the radio as if the forwards are the back checking and doing the forechecking and doing all the stuff they're supposed to do. In addition, and then they score two goals and that's enough tonight. In terms of those three guys, I think what was happening was Heatley in particular, Danny Heatley, who is a great sniper. And it finds open spots on the ice to shoot from there. He was trying to stick handle way too much. He thought he was Patrick Marleau or Logan Couture, and he could stick handle pass guys. And he does a lot of things well, but that isn't one of them. And so he was getting the puck taken away from him. And I think frustrated maybe the other two guys. And Thornton, I thought, he was really concentrating on his defense and doing pretty good there. But at the other end, the spacing seemed to be off. I mean, I never played organized hockey. I played pond hockey as a kid growing up in Ohio. I did play basketball. And, spacing is such a big deal in basketball. You can't have two guys too close together or too far apart. And that's what it looked like to me. Just their spacing was off. They were just out of whack. And now when I watch him play, and I did see him play a couple of times in person before they left town, and then I watched the Boston game last week, the spacing seems right. I mean, it's such, hockey is such a weird game, it moves so fast that sometimes all random, but it's very, very scientific in a lot of ways. And if the spacing is right, and those guys, find the space and time, find the open ice in the right place, it can all work. And I think that's what's happening now. I think tonight, Couture's goal against Washington was kind of set up by good spacing. It wasn't those three guys, but the puck was in the right place. Couture had a spot to take it, and then the second goal, it was those three guys. They're playing very smart hockey, down low, cycling. They got a one goal lead. They're just kind of playing with the puck, or just trying to possess the puck, and then Boyle pops free as they're cycling the puck, and I think Heatley assisted him on that. Found him and assisted him. So, what was the question?
Mark, thanks for talking to us.
We've been talking a long time. Sorry about that.
I have a follow-up question for you. With the Sharks kind of going streaking, as you were to quote old school and a wise Will Ferrell, do you think that Doug Wilson is going to be less inclined to make a major move here and kind of let the boys ride it out now that they've figured it out? Or do you think that this motivates him even more to make that move that we all seem to agree they need another quality defenseman?
Well, I'll tell you what I know, and I'll tell you my opinion.
Awesome.
In the middle of that awful streak, I went over to the practice facility and just happened to catch, this happens sometimes, and I happened to catch Doug at a day when he had some time to talk. And I went into the office, and we shut the door. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and, I'm an old guy, right? I mean, I've been around this team since day one when Doug, first showed up. I remember the first day he showed up meeting him in 91. And so he looked at me, I looked at him, and I just, I said, I really only have one question. WTF, And he pretty much opened up to me. I could write some of it. Some of it I can't, but it was clear to me that he thought things were just really out of whack, and that some guys were just playing too individualistic, or doing things like I mentioned with Heatley, trying to stick handle when you're not a stick handler, or your Dan Boyle, who's really good at certain things, but you're not sure you want him rushing up the ice with the puck when you can move the puck faster by passing it, stuff like that. And so then actually we got around to talking about personnel. And he mentioned some guys that, he might be thinking about trading, but he said, here's the problem, for what we need, first of all, there aren't a lot of teams out of the race, out of the playoff race. There's only a handful. And the players they have are not necessarily, are definitely not the ones, we want at the price they wants to pay for it. And while I was in the room, I was probably in there 45 minutes, and, he was getting calls from other GMs, and, here's another friend of mine, I know what he wants. Here's another friend of mine, I know what he wants. And basically offering guys, some guys whose names had, been mentioned, a defenseman who might help the Sharks, but Doug, he's not supposed to talk about other guys or other teams' guys, but he kind of let me know, this is not what we want on our team. The way Doug operates, I think I've talked to you about these guys, about this before, He's very thorough in terms of, the guys he wants, he has that ghost roster of guys he'd like to have on his team, of the ghosts he'd love to have on his team make real. And he'll go target those guys. And I got the impression that, the guys he wants to target are probably on teams that are still in the playoff hunt and probably don't want to let them go. Now, I think he still has three or four guys on that list. And I think he will make some phone calls about those three or four guys. But, you got to have, it takes two people to make a deal. And I know that the players he probably would give up for them, but it's only for one of those two or three guys. So will he make it? Okay, that's what I know. do I think he will make a deal? It's up to a lot of factors now, including how some of these teams do in the next couple of weeks and whether they play themselves out of the playoff race or not. But I think he will try. I think he will try. I think he knows that that back end could use, you know, another solid guy back there, puck carrier, if you can get a puck carrying defenseman. I think the biggest development in that regard in the last couple weeks, maybe you guys agree, is, you know, Demers is now suddenly looking like, you know, a guy who can really be somebody out there instead of just taking up space. And that's a big, big development, I think. But so what I know is, yes, he will try. Well, my opinion is that, you know, if things break right in terms of, and this is things break right in terms of other teams playing themselves out of the playoff race and have one of those two or three guys available, if things break right, yes, he will make a deal.
So there was an article actually written by David Pollock yesterday who said, oh, it looks like the Sharks are probably done. Do you think that's gamesmanship by Doug Wilson maybe, or is that not his style?
No,
or?
I think you could say they probably are done in the sense that I think Doug would be, at the way the team's playing right now, Doug would be happy to keep this roster, but you know, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have, there's probably a better chance he'll make like a depth trade rather than for an impact guy. But if one of those two or three guys he wants is around, he will target him and go for it. Now there's other factors are too, you know, and some of the names, that, you know, he may want to give up may turn out to be people who do great for the Sharks and during the streak, and they're not, and all of a sudden now you want to hold on to them instead of looking to deal them away, you know, not to mention any names, Devin Bediguchi, but you know, that's part of the factor too. And so David's with the team every day, so I'm not going to say anything he writes is wrong. I think probably I think Doug would be okay with sticking with this if they keep playing this way. But look at his history, guys. You know, you've been around a while.
Yeah.
He likes to make deals. He likes to make deals at trade deadline. You know, the Sharks are almost always active there. That's it. I mean, what do you guys think of Eager and Welland? Those turn out to be pretty good acquisitions, don't you think?
Yeah, so far so good. I think when they happened, the reaction from most Sharks fans and around the league seemed to be a collective yawn. But so far, he's pushed all the right buttons, and I totally would agree. I think Mike would too, that Demers, especially in that moment in the Vancouver game where he got Samuelson to really lose it, and I think he punched him in the face,
yeah,
or, you know, some sort of violent act. And because he was being so physical, we haven't really seen that from Demers until recently, and that's been certainly encouraging. Mark, we've got one more question for you before we let you go. With Nabokov,
can I say one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I say one more thing? Here's the other big development, guys, and you feel free to discuss among yourselves. You know, watching this team in the first part of the season, I even wonder, like, well, you know, these third and fourth lines aren't much. I mean, they're a two-line team right now. And then they get Wellwood, and Coach Hure comes back from the injury. That's a pretty good third line.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here they are. And so now they're a three-line team. The fourth line is just kind of there. But they're a legitimate three-line team now, and that's a big deal. Okay.
Mark,
you mentioned Nabokov.
What do you make of this Nabokov situation? And more specifically, some people had reported that the Sharks actually claimed him, which I think Mike and I have a hard time believing that that's true. I mean, what do you think about this?
I don't have any knowledge about that. It would surprise me if they did. I think when Doug parted ways with Genny, I think they parted on good terms, but I think they both agreed that you know, he had done what he did here, and it was time to do it somewhere else. And I don't think they probably did put a waiver claim on it. And I wrote that I think Genny should suck it up and go play with the Islanders.
They lost, you know, another goalie tonight.
I know. In warmups, easy, you know, so easy for me to say because I don't have to schlep across the country and leave my family here. But if Evgeny wants to play in the NHL next season, this is what he's going to have to do. I mean, you got to follow the rules. I think the rule's kind of silly, but that's the rule. And, you know, he if he wants to stay sharp, he's got to play somewhere. And I think that's what he has to do. I can't see the Sharks, if you're asking whether then. So now what would have to happen is, I guess, if the Sharks wanted him, they'd have to make some sort of deal with the Islanders. And I don't think Doug wants to give up anything to do that. And besides, you know, Niemi's playing great. So it would be a very weird dynamic to bring, you know, Evgeny back in with his, you know, history here and his personality. And I'm not saying that any of that is negative. I mean, I think on balance, he was a pretty good goalie here. And his personality, I always enjoyed talking to him. But, you know, just to be too weird. I just couldn't see that happening.
Yeah, I guess that chapter is closed. Well, Mark, we really appreciate you taking the time out from your busy schedule to talk to us here at Dudes on Hockey, and we hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I'd like to. Okay, let's do this tomorrow rather than me going out.
I'll say hi to Bill Murray for us. I will.
He's a hockey fan.
Ray Romano.
Yeah, I get. I always end up talking about hockey with the Canadian players. And
well, Bill Murray's a dirty Blackhawks fan,
I'm
isn't
sorry,
he?
Yeah.
He's a Blackhawks.
No, he's legit. He's legit. No, he's legit.
All right.
And he grew up in I know he had ice skates on as a kid. So anyway, I'm sorry, I always go off and talk long, but I appreciate you guys calling, and hope everyone clicks on mercurynews.com several times a day, like every loyal American should.
That's what we do.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Right. Thanks, Mark.
All right, guys, be good.
Take care. Bye. Dude, we're just going to keep recording.
All right, I like it. You got to love it. That's the first time we've ever gotten a live phone call from a guest. Mark Purdy taking the time out. He's at the Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's this week.
And we had left him a message, and he said he was going to try and call us back tonight, and he certainly did. Mark Purdy, stand-up guy and Sharks fan.
So it's like live delayed radio.
It was, in a way. It was live delayed radio. Well, dude, I really wanted to ask him when he started talking about, you know, when he says, oh, you know, Doug Wilson's talking about, I was like, oh.
I'll give you everything in my wallet to tell me, like, what teams he was talking to and what players he was talking about. But, you know, we want Mark Purdy to have a job and to actually have some access to the
Sharks. He would never give up that information, nor should he. But I always want to know what those conversations are like.
Yeah.
You know, when sweet Lou Lamoriello calls you on the phone, and if it's like, hey, Lou, hey, Doug, hey, set a Gucci for Andy Green. Let me think about it. Bye. Or if they're like, how's your family? How's this? Been to Henry's High Life lately? I don't know. Tell me about who you took in the Super Bowl.
Or it's like, you know, dudes totally jawing with each other and like busting each other. You know, it's like, settle for Andy Green. He's like, go F yourself. Talk to you tomorrow. Click. You know, it's like that, you know?
Could be like, yeah, I would love to know what that's like, but I think we can imagine, based on what we see at the draft, that it's not like fun and games at all. It's just like a very professional chat.
Yes, yes. Well,
would you like some scones with your trade proposal?
Well, that's a goal for Dudes on Hockey. We got to find an ex-GM that is no longer under the cloud of silence.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That we can ask about, like, not, you know, specifically, you know, oh, I traded Todd Bertuzzi for Oleg Kovashin.
Do you have Daryl Sutter's number?
Yeah, he's a real talkative guy. I'm sure he'd be dynamite.
The
on
Turtle
radio.
Would love to come on.
Yeah, we got. You know, Jay Feaster was good when he was on TSN.
Oh yeah, but unfortunately, he has a job now.
Dude, I have some podcast business that I want to draw everyone's attention to. I know we're 20 minutes in. I wanted to get this in at the top of the show, but Mark called. We have a poll on dudesonhockey.com, and I'm just trying to get a little information about how people are consuming the podcast, if you will. Whether they're clicking on it on dudesonhockey.com, whether they're getting it through iTunes. So I know there's a lot of you out there that listen to this podcast, and we really appreciate it. And usually we don't ask for anything from y'all. I wish you all would take 10 seconds out of your day, go to dudesonhockey.com. It's on the front page. Click on the answer to the poll question. Take you no time at all, and it'll be really helpful to us if you could answer it. And I know some of you have answered the poll question already, and to those people, I say thank you very much, but I know there's many more who haven't. So I wish you would, because it would definitely be helpful for us and for our programming and for our presentation on the website. And so that's enough of that.
Let's, thank you, Governor.
Thank you very much. So the Washington game, I mean, I was...
I'd say the Washington and the Boston game should be in the same conversation. Two complete efforts, two outstanding performances by Antti Niemi, by the defense, by the forwards, back-checking, and just clutch goal scoring when you needed it.
Yeah.
And from guess who?
Yeah.
Logan Couture.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know?
No surprise there.
This guy is... You still want to trade him for Shea Weber, dude? This guy's won two games.
Yeah, I do.
He's well. Would we win either of these two games without him? No, maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
No. So, I'm just so impressed with his maturity, with his knack for scoring clutch goals, taking it to the net.
Yeah.
This guy, I asked you before we started. I said, is this Logan Couture's team now? I know he's a rookie, but is this his team? Is he setting the tone nightly?
He's the hot hand. There's no doubt about that. And like every other player that's hot, you ride the hot hand. I mean, I wouldn't say it was Jonathan Chichu's team when he was the hot hand. It was, you know, it was still the other guys, and people get hot and cold. Clearly, he's been the MVP of the Sharks this season. I don't think anybody can dispute that.
Right.
He's been the best Sharks player. Ryan Clough, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I might have said Ryan Clough, but he's Clough's just faded just a touch, and Couture has come back from injury and the flu and everything, and he seems to score every single night when the Sharks need a goal. And now some crazy esoteric record he set tonight. He has the most game-winning goals on the road by a rookie in NHL history. Now, that doesn't really amount to a hill of beans, but the fact that he does score a lot of goals on the road is always a good thing, and it's great to have a guy on the Sharks setting records, no matter how obscure they might be. So Logan Couture is certainly an amazing surprise as a guy we've talked about since he was drafted, and I'm sure none of us expected him to make this kind of splash.
Yeah, Couture and Clough both missed some games during this win streak, but in the six games they have played, out of the 10, they both have 7 points, so they're over a point a game during this win streak. Balanced scoring, dude. Balanced scoring.
Yeah.
Pavs, 8 points. Setoguchi, hello. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, thanks.
We're so glad you showed up.
Right.
8 points. Dan Boyle, 9 points during this win streak. Heatley, 9 points. Joe, 9 points. Marlowe, 6 points. but some big goals.
Yeah.
You know? Hello, guys.
Ben Eager, one goal.
Ben Eager, huge goal. Look at that clang-a-dang ding-dong off the pipe. Good stuff. Kyle Wellwood, great goal, which we talked about before.
Yeah, right.
And he's been a spark plug, just an overall team effort. And I think that Mark Purdy's point is well taken. The bottom two lines, if you put Torrey Mitchell in John McCarthy's place, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely appreciate that.
So I ask you this at the moment, dude. The way this is running, are you more hesitant to trade Setoguchi than you were last week? The way he's playing, or does this raise his value even higher? And I'll follow it with this. Darren Dreger wrote today on the Dreger Report on TSN.com that Pittsburgh might be interested in adding a forward because they lost Malkin for the year.
Right.
And Crosby's out till March.
Yeah.
And he suggested Setoguchi for Alex Goligoski.
What?
That's what he suggested.
I would take that.
Yeah,
Wouldn't you? Yes.
Yes, I would.
I mean, come on.
So it was interesting to me that in Dreger's estimation, Setoguchi's value equals Alex Goligoski's. That was a surprising evaluation.
When you think about it from Pittsburgh's perspective, they're pretty well set on D. I mean, I guess they lost Gonchar, but I mean, they went out and got two guys.
Yeah, but this is, I think of it from Pittsburgh's perspective. Crosby and Malkin can sit out the rest of the year. I would rather not make the playoffs than trade, you know,
Goligoski.
Or someone who's important to the core of my team.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to panic and trade trade Chris Letang for Olli Jokinen.
Yeah.
I got another forward.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they do. I mean, I guess they've got a ton of depth. They've still got Mihalik. They've still got Martin. They've got Letang.
Yeah.
Then why trade Goligoski? It didn't make sense to me. But that is the idea here. Is that the valuation of this player now? Is it that high?
That surprises me to hear that, to be honest. But, you know, it's hard because we haven't been paying so much attention to Gogo. Well, that's what they call him, Gogo. Gogo's, you know, value on the Pens because they got these new defensemen. And if they didn't have Martin and they didn't have Mihalik, then Goligoski would be a very big part of that team. And now that he, you know, is sort of been relegated down the depth chart, I think, you know, he could definitely be seen by people in that city as, you know, he is their Devin Setoguchi when you think about it. It's like, we have Logan Couture. Why do we need Devin Setoguchi? They have Zibanejad Mihalik and Paul Martin. Why do they need Alex Goligoski? And if they can get somebody good for him, then why wouldn't they? So I can understand that thinking. From our perspective, I would love that deal. I would do it in a heartbeat, you know?
Yeah, he's their fifth defenseman. I mean, we're forgetting about Brooks Orpik too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And Gonchar's out. So
Gonchar's gone. He's in Ottawa.
So
anyways, dude, I guess it's an interesting thing for Doug Wilson to consider at the moment is he just going to go, well, it must be fixed. Mm-hmm. They're playing great. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Or do you just try and make it better? Do you even try and make it better? I'm not sure which way it's going to go, dude.
I'm not sure either, dude.
Are we ready for our new and favorite segment?
I think we are. All right, we're back to our Young Dudes segment, which is us profiling some young Sharks prospects that are still in the system. We're 3 for 3. We've had three different requests from listeners, and now we have 3 different answers, although this is sort of a double week. We have Drew and Justin Daniels. I'm getting this right. They are actually brothers.
They're twins, I think, right? Oh, that's right. You got the Jason and Julian Damaris.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I just want to make sure I get this one right. are actually brothers.
They are. Good job.
So, yeah, I did my homework, dude. I'm done. That's all the research I need. I'm good with that. So, let's talk about them. They were drafted both in 2008. Justin was drafted in the 3rd round, which was actually the Sharks' first selection that year. And Drew was drafted in the 7th round, which is the last round of the draft in 2008. They are both playing for Northeastern, which is in Hockey East, which is a good NCAA hockey conference, includes Boston College and Boston University and others. So what do you say about these guys? I'm sure you looked up the stats as I did, dude.
I wouldn't say these guys are the Sedin twins. I'd say they're more like the Olsen twins at this point. in terms of their impact for Northeastern universities.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff that I read about them is that last year they're both 6'2".
Uh-huh.
And last year they came in at 158 pounds. All right. The good news is they're both listed at 190, 195.
Which means nothing.
Well, I read a thing saying that on a preview of the Hockey East, saying that they had gained 30 pounds.
Would they just get canned hams?
I don't know. Well, they strap the canned hams to their thighs and just start skating around.
I mean, what are they doing? Like I don't know, dude.
I don't know what to say, but you know, these are young men that have just found Jack in the Box, or I don't know.
Black Crowes cover bands they were leading. I mean, gee, that's skinny. Huh?
I know. Well, what could you say?
Well, okay, so let's do the stats here. Drew this year is 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points in 26 games. Justin is 2 points in 17 games.
Right.
And I wouldn't say this is a major tail off from last year. Justin had 15 points total in 32 games, and Drew had 8 points in 32 games last year.
An interesting fact about Drew is that he was actually converted to defense on January 7th of this year.
Okay.
I did read that. So they're trying him in a new position. They were both playing forward, And Justin is continuing to play at the forward spot, but Drew has been converted to D, so they're trying out something a little bit new for him. Justin certainly is the more highly... Drew is the more highly touted of the two.
Justin was the earlier pick.
Yeah, you're right, dude. I was just testing you.
Good.
No, you're right.
I passed.
Justin is the more highly touted and more set in his position, right?
Mm-hmm. He's the center.
So Drew is being moved around a little bit to try and figure out his hockey life.
So how would you evaluate or guesstimate or just pull out of thin air where these guys might end up in the pro hockey ranks?
Non-factors. I mean, just at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are not really registering on anybody's radar, really. But they're sophomores in college. But if you're looking at the age equivalent, like in junior, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, like these guys are 19, mm-hmm. you know, Logan Couture was, you know, over a point per game player, you know, and he's a legitimate second line player. So, I mean, I guess we're looking at, you know, fourth line center, maybe defenseman.
Yeah. Right.
The fact that they're moving him around right now probably isn't a great sign. The thing that's interesting too, dude, is that they're playing in the final of the Bean Pot.
Yeah, they just beat Harvard the other day.
So those of you who maybe have no life or no loved ones on Valentine's Day, you mm-hmm. can watch the Bean Pot on Nesson and check out the Daniels brothers. They can maybe be your date.
No loved ones. Is that directed at me?
Dude, I was only looking at you when I said it.
I knew it.
So I'm definitely going to tape that if I do get that.
Yeah.
Comcast. Yeah. Will you let me get Nesson? I'm probably not.
I might get Nesson.
I don't know. Well, I'll have to check it out. I'm curious, but are they on the relevant radar?
No.
Not yet.
They're not. I mean, they hockey's future has them at a, you know, maybe a depth defenseman or, but, you know, that's not a very precise measurement. And at this point, given their output and their standing among their team, I mean, they're not even in the top 10 or even 15 probably in scoring on the team. So
I'm going to make you look smart right now, dude. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready to look smart?
Name
the other Sharks prospect on this team.
On this team? Isaac something?
No.
It's not?
Come on, dude.
Not Charlie Coyle. He's not North and Eastern.
Dude. Who else plays as a freshman on this team?
Dude, I don't know. Dude, how is this making me look smart? I look like an idiot.
I thought you were going to know this.
Who is it?
I'm so sorry I've made you look foolish.
No, you're not.
Cody Ferriero.
Cody Ferriero?
Cody Ferriero on Northeastern.
Okay.
Now I'm concerned that I'm wrong.
I'm concerned too. I looked at the Northeastern roster and I didn't see any other Sharks on it.
I'm going to feel really, really stupid.
That would be pretty funny. The climax, the drum roll and everything, and you're going to get it wrong. That'd be funny. But these guys aren't exactly impact players even in the Hockey East. And I would say it would be a pretty, pretty big long shot.
Cody Ferriero joins Northeastern's 2010-11 incoming class. Dude, Cody Ferriero.
When did
we draft this last year?
Oh, okay.
Ben Ferriero's a bro.
Oh, another set.
Very nice. There it 20 is. Games, 2 points. Really outdoing himself.
Everybody's tearing it up.
Hey, right. They're in the Beanpot final.
Okay.
We're going to check them out.
All right, dude. I'm gonna add a slight element of a downer here to this podcast.
What?
Because, I know Mark Purdy talked about something, and it's something that, listening to the podcast last week, we sort of threw out there as if it were, or maybe we just spoke about it off the air, about how it was just sort of, a truism, which is that Niemi is a better than average goaltender this year. I think we were talking about it in the context of maybe somebody on TSN or somebody on ESPN put out goalie rankings in Niemi.
It was in the hockey news.
It was hockey news. And he wasn't even in the top 30.
Top 30, and he didn't make it.
So I wanted to throw this at you. So I was looking at some save percentage stats today, and I know save percentage isn't a perfect stat, but it's probably better than the other major ones that are listed. The Sharks, okay, how about this? There are only 8 teams in the NHL that have both goalies that have a worse save percentage than Niemi.
Okay.
Let me let that sink in.
Okay.
So that is Detroit, St. Louis, Calgary, Colorado, Columbus, New Jersey, Toronto, and Ottawa. Everybody else in the league has a goalie with a better save percentage than Antti Niemi, and of course, Antero Nidamaki, because Nidamaki's save percentage is worse than Niemi. So we're talking 22 teams, 23 teams have better goalies than the Sharks right now.
Okay. Are these their regular starting goalies?
Yes.
Are we talking about Corey Schneider?
No, we're not talking about Corey Schneider. I mean, these are guys that are listed in the ESPN stats category. If they've only played two games, they're not on the list. I mean, maybe the lowest guy would be a guy like Scott Clemenson, but, you know, Vokoun has a better save percentage than him anyway, so it doesn't even count. But, I mean, everybody you can... Corey Crawford, I mean, name every team, and I could name you the goalie that has a better save percentage than Antti Niemi. So now I ask you this question. Do we still stick by the statement that the Sharks have better than average goaltending? Because now I don't think I can say that with a straight face.
It's hard to talk poorly about a guy who has back-to-back shutouts.
I know. It is. It's really hard. But we need to be realistic about what's going on here. You know? I mean, if we look at Niemi's last five games, he's, of course, shut out 100 save percentage. But then 900, then 889, then 900, then 885 in the four games preceding that.
Right.
None of those save percentages are good.
Right.
Okay. And then he has a good run, 973, 944, and 933, but then he has an 880. So I guess, I mean, certainly I think he's done better in 2011 than he did in 2010, but here's the uncomfortable question still. Do we have even average goaltending?
Yeah, I guess I would want to take a look at like what someone, let's look at this. Okay. This is going to make me feel bad. I'm looking at Tim Thomas, all right?
Who's Tim probably Thomas, 945. Elite, right?
941, 923, 971, 941, 941, 956, 632.
You probably got pulled.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh. That's not a real number.
Okay.
1,000. 857, 1,000. Yeah, that's outrageous. Yeah. That's outrageous. Better than average goaltending, dude. I guess that does make me hedge a little bit on that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just something to think about, just something to put your pipe and smoke it, as it were.
Dude, you really know how to take a dump in the middle of the party.
I can really shut up a room, can't I? Yeah. Just cool the whole thing
nicely
down.
Nicely done. That's that's fantastic.
Thanks, dude.
We were riding on a high,
yeah,
and now we've achieved a full-blown low.
I just want to go.
Can you just do something to make me feel better?
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
All right, new segment time, getting to know your podcaster. So I'm going to tell a story about Doug. Okay, here's the story. Dude, I actually have two stories.
No. Just one.
No.
One story.
Well, the first story, is really short.
No, you can't tell two. Or you're not going to have enough to go around, dude. We only have 20 years of friendship.
All right. Well, I'm still telling two. Too bad. Well, the first story is that when I proposed this segment to Doug, he immediately said, getting to know you from The King and I. Okay, so that's story number one.
I know, but was it funny?
It's good.
Okay.
But draw your own conclusion from that. The second story is one time I've mentioned on the podcast maybe a long time ago, is that since I play hockey, I see it as my duty to try and encourage those around me to also play hockey because I believe, and I still believe that you listeners would enjoy the game so much more if you, in turn, also played. And it's never too late to start playing. I know people that started playing in their 30s, and they have a lot of fun playing. Okay, so that being the backstory, I try to get Doug to start playing hockey. So I said, dude, let's go to an open skate. And Doug's like, okay. And, you know, he's really, really reluctant about it. He did not want to go. So we go to Sharks Ice. We do the open skate. There's a million people on the ice. There's, you know, little kids falling down all over the place. There's people in their 20s and 30s, like really wobbling and all this kind of stuff. So Doug gets out there. We rent him the skates. You know, I get my skates. And Doug is terrible. Well, I mean, what can you do? But everybody's terrible the first time they skate. And Doug had the lazy ankles that you get when you first skate because you don't hold your feet straight up. It's the whole thing. But he was not happy at not being good at skating right away. And Doug is a guy that's good at a lot of things. And this wasn't one of those things. And I've tried to take him back. You have never been back since.
No.
And
now you've cemented the fact that I've never returned.
What are you talking about? I just said that nobody is good when they first start. And that's worth the effort. I'm telling you. I'm trying to convince you, but it's not going
to
work.
You've tried to talk me into playing in your adult hockey league. And you just, I think now I'm convinced you just want to see me fail.
Dude, you should see how bad some of those people are. They're terrible.
Dude.
It's true.
I want to be in the elite of bad hockey.
Well, you can be in the elite.
Okay.
If you are in marginal shape and you actually care, then you are almost an elite player in this league.
Do I tell a story about you, or are we taking turns?
It's up to you.
Let's take turns. I'm going to wait.
Okay, you're going to wait.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, how much time have we talked for?
We've talked for long enough. I think we're pretty good. Yeah. Let's save it for next week.
Okay. Because I got a good one.
Do you?
I do.
Uh-oh.
If you want to open the door a crack, dude, I'm going to kick the door open, Chuck Norris style.
Talk about your all-time backfires. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Fill out the poll on the website, please. I encourage you to do that. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll be back again next time, same place.
You just went there. You just went there.
Yes, I did.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.